Will you pray with me? Holy God, indeed, hallowed be your name. We come to lift up that name, to give you thanks for the way that your grace and your mercy and your compassion and your goodness flows into our day-to-day lives and flows into us in this moment. Lord, you are the one who lifts us up when we are down. You are the one who gifts us so that we might be generous. And you are the one who models compassion so that we might be a source of compassion in this world. So Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the strength to lead those lives that reveal you in the world around us, that reveal you in the things that we do, that reveal you in the things that we say. We pray that we would be people who build up and who do not tear down. And we pray that we are people who bring goodness into the world around us. Lord, at this time, we come before you to lift up the requests and the thoughts and concerns that are on our hearts. Those things that weigh us down, those things that we have carried in here. And we give thanks for your willingness to listen. A willingness that is even greater than our willingness to share. So in silence, Lord, we lift these up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, even as we offer up the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So one day, a teacher overhears a conversation that's happening between a little boy and a little girl in their class. And the little boy asks the little girl, "Are you a Presbyterian?" And she answers, "No, we belong to another abomination." We laugh, but the history of Christianity and the battles we have waged amongst ourselves is nothing to laugh at. From the early church councils to the great schism between the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, to the Pope's responses to the reformations in Germany and Switzerland, to the battle over slavery, and the current upheaval regarding the acceptance of our LGBTQ community. It is no wonder that the single largest religious group in the United States anymore, and maybe even in the world, is that group that is unaffiliated. See, people are refusing to participate in religious communities at an alarming rate. And many point to the infighting among Christians and among religious people as the reason why they don't trust organized religion. So this morning's scripture lesson is going to sound awfully contemporary. You see, Jesus and his disciples have just had a conversation regarding what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. And Jesus teaches that in the kingdom, the greatest is the servant of all. And the one who welcomes the powerless and the voiceless welcomes the very presence of God into their midst. And so this morning we pick it up with John then telling Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, we saw someone else casting demons out in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." That sounds like a simple statement, a reasonable statement. I mean, after all, the disciples had seen Jesus do some pretty amazing stuff. And they had done some pretty amazing stuff on their own rights as they have gone out and they were given authority in Jesus' name and they've done some of the same stuff they have seen Jesus doing. But then they notice someone else going door to door, doing that same kind of healing work in Jesus' name. But as they looked at this person going door to door, they realized, wait, we don't know that person. We don't recognize that person. So let's go stop him. Let's go stop him. He's not in our group, right? It's almost, there was a movie made several years back called Mean Girls, and it was about their social group and keeping that power. It almost feels like that. And guys can do that as well. It's not just a girl thing. And I'm sure that when John shares that with Jesus, that he is expecting to be praised. "Oh, you did a good job, John." You know? But instead, Jesus says, "Don't stop him. No one who does a deed of power in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." And it's clear that the disciples still haven't learned their lesson about greatness. And I want you to notice that the disciples are concerned because the healer isn't following them. But Jesus reminds them that the person is serving in his name and that they are serving in his name. Just about the time that the disciples are concerned because it's about them, Jesus reminds them that no, it's actually about me. And I wish we could really remember this. Those of us in the Christian church, those of us who belong to religious groups. I mean, I will share that we are a United Methodist Church. We began as a renewal movement in the Church of England, and we became a separate church as a result of the American Revolutionary War. We have our own distinctive history. We have our own distinctive flavor of theology and discipleship. We have our own distinctive manner of organizing and governing our church. And these are the kinds of things that make us different from the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Catholics. Yet when we do our ministry, our primary goal isn't to proclaim the United Methodist Church. Our primary goal is to proclaim Christ. Our church's mission statement as a denomination is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Yeah, we do that as Methodists. Yes, we want people to be a part of the Methodist Church, but our primary goal is not to make good Methodists. Our primary goal is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I love our church. I love our denomination. And this is the social circle within which I live out my Christian faith. But we are a subset of the church. We are just a portion of the kingdom of God. And when we can work for the common good of all people alongside other Christians and even people of different faiths, I believe that the world becomes a better place. And I believe that Jesus is pleased when we are able to do so. And I think that's why I appreciate ministries like the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry so much. I mean, this is a diverse group of religious communities who have banded together to serve people who have no power, no position, and who don't have wealth to pay us back or to share with us. And I don't know how better to illustrate what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples and us about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is bigger than you. The kingdom of God is bigger than me. The kingdom of God is bigger than our individual church. It's bigger than our social circle. And you see, Luke was written for early Christians. Mark was written for the early Christians. And he clearly wanted to make sure that they would bless each other as they did ministry in Jesus' name, even if they weren't in the same circle. A way of blessing the movement of Christ throughout the world. And if we follow the reading today, Jesus goes on to imply that it is a sin to impede others who share the work of Christ simply because they're not a part of your group. We should be doing everything to help people who are curious about our faith, to help people who want to learn more about Jesus, to come alongside people who desire to step out and to do ministry in Jesus' name. We need to come alongside people, not put obstacles in their way. Which brings us to Jesus' final statement to the disciples. He says, "For everyone will be salted with fire. But if fire has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves." And that last admonition, "and be at peace with one another." See, remember that Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says that while I baptize you with water, someone else greater than me is coming and he will baptize you with fire. With fire. John's referring, of course, to Jesus and to the giving of the Holy Spirit to people so that they can do God's work and so that they can live lives that are worthy of God's reign. Salt is a great symbol. It's one of those basic elements, one of those basic seasonings, and it held a tremendous value in the ancient world. And if salt were to lose its flavor, what good would it be? You see, you can't re-season salt, because where you get that salty flavor, it's from salt. So you would simply throw out the old salt. In the ancient world, it was often a mixture of minerals and salt was in it, and you could leach out and end up with something that was flavorless. But you couldn't re-season salt. You would simply get new salt. If you have a container of salt and it gets wet, are you going to use it? No, you're going to throw it out. You're going to get new salt because you can't re-season salt. So have salt in yourself. And what that means is to tend the presence of the Holy Spirit and its distinctive flavor. It means that you should live in the manner that God has called you to live in. And it means that you should be at peace with your brothers and sisters who have the same presence of the Holy Spirit and do the same work in the name of Christ. Remember that the way of God's kingdom is not to lord over one another or to defend your social group, like mean girls or overzealous fans at a football game. It's about serving and loving one another. It's about caring for the powerless and the voiceless. It's about being a community that resembles something different than what this world offers. And I guess the question this morning is, can we do it? Are we up to it? This is not an easy teaching. But in light of the passage, it's all that I have to offer to you this morning. Can we speak words of compassion and patience to those that are different from us? When I went to seminary, I studied alongside a lot of Presbyterians, a number of Lutherans, some Seventh-day Adventists, Assemblies of God, non-denominational guys, and women that were called to do ministry in a variety of different ways. Men and women who were called to do the work of God. And we did it in different contexts. We did it through different communities. Yeah, we had some different ideas on what some stuff meant, but in the end, we were able to pray with one another, to celebrate the work that we did, and to look forward to what God was going to do to the world through the ministries that we represented and the ministries we participated in. We need to have compassion and patience. And not only that, but we need to lift one another up in prayer. Because one of our churches is not going to be able to carry out the entire mission that God has given us. It takes all of us. It takes all of us. So let us be people who have salt in ourselves. And let us be at peace with one another, with the churches in our area. Let us be the kingdom of God. Amen.
Good morning. It's time for our October. Oh, it's October. Tomorrow, our October good news announcements. First of all, please make sure that you pick up a copy of our newsletter in the distribution bins, and also be sure to sign up for our weekly e-blast, which is formatted to be read very easily on your smartphones. Beginning this week, Thursday night, we have the start of our Bible study with Pastor Steve on October 4th. Pastor Steve is very excited to share this new six-week Bible study with us. It's going to be Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. in the lounge. We'll be studying the parables of Jesus. It's going to be using a text prepared by Rabbi Amy Jill Levine in her book, Short Stories by Jesus. The study is open to everyone and will take place in the lounge on October 4th, the 25th, November 1st, and the 8th. The October 18th location is TBD, and we will not be meeting on October 11th due to charge conference. More on that in a moment. Please sign up via eBlast or with Patty in the church office. This Saturday, October 6th, is game night. The theme is spooky games of dread, although you can still, I suppose, do happy games in the lounge at 6:30 p.m. to 11. Bring your favorite game and some snacks to share. This coming Sunday, October 7th, is World Communion Sunday. We will be celebrating that God's church isn't just within our walls, but around the world. We will celebrate with multilingual readings, music, and following worship, we will have a time of multicultural foods, fellowship, and that will be outside in the courtyard patio. So please bring a favorite family dish that represents your heritage. And if you are bilingual or you speak another language fluently and would like to partake in worship, please contact Patty or Pastor Steve. Wednesday, October 10th is the UMW General Luncheon in Lofi Low at noon, and the $3 donation includes lunch and the program. Thursday, October 11th, I mentioned this earlier, is the North District Charge Conference at 6:30 p.m. at the Sherman Oaks UMC. Everyone is encouraged to attend. Committee leaders and lay servants, please turn in any annual forms to the church office by October 8th and check with the church office if you have any questions. Mission Sunday is coming up on October 14th. Please bring in proteins, as Pastor Steve mentioned. This all goes towards the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry. They are requesting dry cereal, canned tuna, peanut butter, and brown paper grocery bags. You can bring those into the church. October 14th is going to be a big day here at the church. It's Mission Sunday. We also have something very special going on. Our very own Ralph Siebold is going to be presenting a history of Arthurdale in the lounge during coffee fellowship. For those of you who don't know, Ralph Siebold is going to be presenting the story of his birth and life in Arthurdale, West Virginia. In the 1930s, Arthurdale was a community that was a part of the Homestead Project that was championed by Eleanor Roosevelt. So this is sure to be fascinating and interesting and always fun to hear stories. And we thank Ralph in advance for preparing this for us. One more thing that will occur on the 14th, the Tree Lot Elves will be meeting in the lounge following coffee hour. So all persons interested in attending that and helping out as Tree Lot Elves are welcome to attend that. Monday, October 15th, if you can sew, there is a recruiting call for people to join Tabitha Fellowship. Tabitha has been making baby blankets and baby items for donations to low-income mothers that have their children at Olive View Hospital. Meeting hand-in-hand at 10:30 a.m. on October 15th. If you can't sew, which would include yours truly, Tabitha will gladly accept your donations to buy supplies. Thursday, October 18th, PB&J Project meets at the lounge at 7 to make 150 sandwiches for the hungry in our community. Saturday, October 20th, Flickers from the Silver Scream returns to the Burbank Historical Society, and join us for that event at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, October 20th. Sign up with Roger Eshelman. Sunday, October 21st, every Sunday in October is a big Sunday here. That is going to be Laity Sunday here at 10:30 worship. If you'd like to take part in leading worship, we are going to have a meeting following worship today at noon in Boyer Chapel to prepare for that. we are going to be celebrating here with Lady leading the worship service. But following that, we will have our celebration luncheon in the social hall following worship, which will be organized by Pastor Steve and Program Ministries. Now, during the Laity Sunday celebration, be sure to stop by the UMW Halloween Boutique. Make sure that you bring some cash with you to support the UMW by purchasing their most delicious baked goods and jams. I know I will be. And they make great hostess gifts for the holidays. Ladies, you are invited to join Ruth Circle, which will be meeting at 7:30 p.m. in the community room on Tuesday, October 23rd. Friday, October 26th, Tea Fellowship will be convening at Chato Tea Room in Old Town, Pasadena. Please make your reservation with the church office. They will be convening at 11 a.m. in the north lot to carpool over and to caravan, and the cost is $18 per person. And that's Tea Fellowship on October 26th. This is something we've been waiting for on the calendar. Saturday, October 27th, sign up for CPR training at 10 a.m. from 10 a.m. to noon and hand in hand. It will be taught by our very own Dan Doggett. The cost is $25 for materials, and you can sign up, see either Dan or Muffet bring it in. Monday, October 29th, as we cruise toward the end of the month, we have our very own trunk or treat from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. in the south lot of our parking lot. If you're not familiar with trunk or treat, there is a bonus handout inside of your bulletin today. Please plan on attending, invite everybody you know, and if possible, sign up your car to be a trunk host. Inside of the newsletter and the bulletins, you will find details and samples of trunk theme ideas. We still need about a dozen more cars,